Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for gathering us together in this house. Thank you for the beautiful words that your love was written in red. Thank you, Father God, for the promise of your returning. And as we await your returning, Father God, we are asking that you help us to be ready for the work that will usher in the precious coming of our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to the scripture that was read this morning. As you can see, the title of the message is Religion Isn't Working Anymore. How many of you have ever felt that sometimes your walk with the Lord just isn't right? Something's not connecting. Something is missing. Well, we're going to start out today with those words that religion by itself just isn't working anymore. John chapter 4, verses 21 and 24. If you know this story, it is the story of the woman at the well. Jesus has made a side trip to Samaria. It said he purposed to make this trip because he knew whom he was going to meet. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And he's talking to this dear woman, and he shares with her in John 4, 21. Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Those words, must worship him in spirit and truth, are a direct command from Jesus Christ. In today's church world, we are seeing a separation of spirit and truth. Craig and I had come out of the charismatic movement. Now, what I'm about to say is not to condemn people who truly love the Lord God Almighty, but we were beginning to be troubled by what we saw. There was a particular revival taking place in Florida. And many of the charismatic churches in this town were so excited. They had to go. And Holy Spirit had me watching this revival. And all through it, I cried. And I cried because I knew something was not right. What was going on could not be of the Lord God Almighty. If you ever watched it, you would have seen some of the most horrendous acts of supposed worship that you could have ever seen. The evangelist came to called up a man who had a broken leg. The guy came up, and supposedly there was healing going on. So the evangelist has the man lay down on the floor, and he picks up the man's leg and slams it down on the floor and says, "Now you are healed." And the poor guy was laying there in tears. And you could tell not only was he not healed, but something else broke. Yet they scooped him up and said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, he's healed." They rushed him to the hospital and found out that not only was his previous breaks now broken again, but other fractures were on that same leg. And throughout this particular revival service that kept going on, some of the local churches said, "You got to go to Florida. You got to get a piece of this. You got to. Three of the pastors that we were associated with, I warned them not to go. I told them, "If you go, you will lose your ministries because this is fake. Something's not right. Don't go." But because they emphasize so much on the spirit and the things that go on in the spirit, they had so little truth with it These three ministers did go. All three of them lost their ministries completely. One was a pastor of a very big church, and everything stopped for him. The other one was a visiting evangelist who would go from church to church, and nobody would call him anymore because something had happened within him, and they knew he wasn't right. And the third minister was beginning a church that fell completely apart. And they came to me a year and a half later and said, "Oh, if we had only listened. If we had only paid attention to what you were saying. Because these people say that you have to perform this gift or that gift or this one or that one in order to be a true Christian." And we found out that was not true. So that's one extreme of the spectrum. The other extreme are those that say, "We got the truth, and you better follow it. You had better do what we say. You had better learn quick." Because they have the truth, but they don't have love in it. And if somebody's screaming at you that you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, are we compelled to do it? No. We're kind of a little bit rebellious. Somebody's screaming at me, we're going to say, not that way, fella. Not that way, lady. You can tell me all you want what's true, but if you're going to tell me that way, I'm not going to listen. So we need to combine the two. And how are we going to combine these two? Spirit and truth. If all you do is emphasize the spirit side, you're going to have trouble. If all you do is emphasize the truth side, you're going to have trouble. As you can see in those particular instances, religion isn't working anymore, is it? Even the woman at the well was religious, and yet look at her lifestyle. Husband after husband, and the man she was with, she wasn't married to. So religion wasn't doing anything for her. She even said, "We worship on the mountain." And Jesus said, "You don't even know what you're doing. Your religion isn't working for you anymore." It wasn't until she heard the words of Jesus and had a true relationship with him that her life completely changed. Spirit and truth had joined with her. She became an evangelist in her area. People came to hear what she had to say and see the man that had told her these beautiful things. Because now her faith, her religious activity had meaning. It was working. She became an evangelist in Samaria. And many people came to believe in what Jesus had to say because she had been completely transformed. And so we're beginning to see just a little bit what's happening here with that woman at the well. But in today's society, something sad is happening. Fewer and fewer people are attending services on a regular basis. Even before COVID came. Now that COVID has come and we got comfortable with not coming to church or watching online, and I'm not condemning those that are watching online, but it is important that we begin to gather ourselves together again. Because it's when we gather together we have strength. The beautiful songs that we've heard today, what did it do for you? It empowered you, it blessed you, it helped you, reminded us of the words of God, and seeing one another, and we're going to miss our brother and sister and family, but we see one another, and it just blesses us. But if all we're doing is sitting on the sidelines and coming up with one reason or another, while we're not coming to Sabbath school, while we're not attending church, we're going to have a problem, because that means religion isn't working anymore. And apparently it hadn't been for a while. Again, I'm not accusing those who stay home for health reasons, but a lot of people have just stopped coming to church. They even argue the truths of the gospel. And it's because, saints of God, we have to confess a lot of it has to do with us. When people see us out in public, what do they see? Do they see us or do they see Jesus? When we tell people about the precious blood of Jesus Christ, are we saying it with love because we want you to know it too? Or is it hard and cold, and do they feel condemnation instead of conviction? You see, if all they feel when we talk to them about the love of Jesus Christ, if they don't see the nature of Christ in us when we go to public places, then our religion isn't working for us anymore either. Years ago, the Lord began to give me the question, and I've shared this with you before. Used to, I asked the Lord, what should I do? Should I help? And the question that came back to me is, it is never a question as to whether you should help. It is a question of how will you help? Sometimes it's to say no. Sometimes it's to say yes. But it, to be, you know, very frank, a lot of it has to do with just being kind, being nice. When we go to the grocery store, we have a little bit of issues when we go to the store, right? We've got a time schedule maybe. It's been a busy day. Things are happening. But think about the people that are working in that store. Thinking about the clerk that has myriad of people coming through their station. Have you ever seen some of them? Oh, my goodness, another person. Do you smile at them? Do you say hello? They will ask you, is everything okay? Have you found everything you need? I turn around and ask them, I said, yes, I thank you. And are you okay today? How are you? Oh, I'm okay. Just that simple turnaround brings joy to them, and they're very happy to do the work for that little bit of time. Because I want to pray, and I want to know that my faith is working, even when I'm in a grocery store or at a gas station or wherever I'm at. I want to know that I'm sharing the love of Jesus with people. So it is not a question as to whether or not should we help. The question is, how should we help? So now we're going to be talking about us. About us. What about the Sabbath? What about this precious gift we have every week called the Sabbath? What do we do with the Sabbath? Are we glad it's Sabbath? Are we looking forward to sun going down on Friday and we get to spend 24 hours worshiping the Lord? Yay! Though we worship him throughout the week, 24 hours when we shut the world off and we say, oh, it's you and me, Jesus, and it's you and me and my brothers and sisters. Or do we say, I've got to get the dishes washed, make sure the clothes are done, make sure this and that, what did I miss? What am I doing? If Sabbath is not the joy that Isaiah says the joy should be, guess what, saints of God? Religion isn't working anymore. And I understand that transforming ourselves from a workaday situation to preparing for the Sabbath hours, for some of us that the Lord has changed our minds and our opinions and we're coming from other faith systems, it was a little bit of a challenge. I have to admit, it was a challenge. And even sometimes I'll slip up and say Sunday school. I mean Sabbath school. You know, when it's most of your life and it's just been a little over 10 years, going on 11 years, guess what? It still takes a while, okay? But I now know the joy of the Sabbath. Instead of just, I have to do this, I need to do that, this has to be done, that's got to be done, it's now, oh, I want to get ready. Set out your clothes and have them ready. Make sure everything's washed up, maybe on Thursday, so Friday isn't so hectic. So that come Friday, it's the last little bitty things we need to do. Because if getting ready for the Sabbath hours and getting ready to come to church is a drudgery, a chore, something we feel we have to do, then religion isn't working anymore. We have to do something in order to transform our opinion and our attitudes. And of course, we know that is reaffirming our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to get into another touchy subject, and it's about the works that we do. Some of us are involved in ministries and pretty active in them. Do we feel that we're doing them because it's something we think we have to do in order to gain favor or to have somebody say, job well done? Or what is our attitude about the things that we're doing? Again, if it's for the human side, there's a problem. Works don't get it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us that we're saved what? We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. But sometimes we do get to feeling like, okay, I have to do this. I've committed to doing it. Okay, what do I need to do? And actually, though we like doing them, sometimes it's a chore. Now, the devil would like to throw that in on you. You know, he would like to cause that to happen. But if it is a common thing, then there might be a problem in our hearts. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Because if it's a drudgery, an obligation, without the Spirit of God working there, then religion isn't working anymore. It just isn't working. And the Lord God Almighty doesn't want us to be in that circle. He knows that sometimes we're in the valley, sometimes we're on the mountaintop. God knows that. But the enemy knows it too. And the enemy knows how when we're in the valley and we find doing things more of a struggle, he knows exactly how to cause that to be a burden and to get us to feeling, you know, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore. And so the enemy is winning because he knows at that point what you call faith has turned into mere religion, and religion isn't working anymore. It just isn't working. Something needs to happen to boost us up from that particular thing that we're going through. There was a song written not too long ago, and it says, religion never set nobody free. It's always made a prisoner out of me. I'm tired of checking boxes. I'm tired of keeping score because religion isn't working anymore. In your life and in mine, what we're doing, is it a box we check off? Or is it, yes, Lord, thank you? Is it the fact that I'm keeping score, I've done this, I've done that? Okay, I have 5 points. Have you ever seen on Facebook where people tell you to look and see what you haven't done and how many of those activities? I haven't stolen a car, I've not been arrested, I don't have a DUI, all of these things. How many can you say you haven't done, and then you write down or you put on there, I haven't done this, so I have 6 points or 10 points or 1 point or whatever it is? Sometimes we get to feeling like we're just checking boxes. And if that's the case, then religion isn't working anymore. If you've been keeping up with the 10 days of prayer, we are reminded that we have a end time message. We've talked about it today. We've sung these beautiful songs. Jesus is coming soon. But how are we getting ready for that particular time? Are we getting weary in well-doing? Or are we excited about what's coming? Where is our heart? Where are our minds? Are we getting tired? Or are we anxious? Are we excited? Are we ready to do what God is calling us to do? Where is it? Where are you in it? Because it's going to be very important that we get this right, that we're beginning to work with God in spirit and in truth, and we have that merge of activity with our hearts. Even Elijah, look at what he did, called down fire and then ran off like a little scared puppy when Jezebel threatened his life. And he had to run into the cave, and though the Lord fed him, the Lord began to share some things with him, and the earth shook. But he didn't hear the voice of God. Wind blew, and he didn't hear the voice of God. It wasn't until he changed his mind and focus from looking at what I've done, God, to hearing the still small voice of the Lord telling him, Elijah, look what I've done. I'm the one that brought the fire down. And though you think you're the only one left, I have thousands of prophets in the wings. And now I'm going to instruct you to go and train one to take your place. Now we know when Elijah got his heart right, what happened? He never died. He got taken off in a fiery chariot. Amen? But look at what had to happen to Elijah, who put the focus on what he was doing instead of the focus on what God had done through him. Because when God starts to work through us, saints of God, it's going to be very important that you always give God the credit for what is happening in your life. I tell people, nobody's more amazed at what God has helped me to do than I am. Whether you can believe it or not, I would really like to be the little mouse in a corner and leave me alone. Just let me live life, stay away, don't touch me, don't put me out there. That's really what I wanted to do. As you can see, God had other plans. And I'm grateful he did. But once in a while, I still am that little quiet girl. When I was in the seventh grade, I had such a low image of me that when my mother's car was parked and I honed in on where she was, don't get in my way when I'm getting to mama's car. Because I bent myself over and hightailed it to her car and hurried up and jumped in her car so I could run away from everybody. I just wanted to run away and not be seen. And when God saved me sitting on the edge of the bed after downing a bottle of sleeping pills, I told him, I'm afraid of authority, God. But obviously you want me. Obviously you want me alive. I do believe that there now is a God. And I heard a little bit about this salvation thing with Jesus. So yeah, I need a Savior. Boy, do I need a Savior. So I accept that gift. But I'm not quite ready to have you tell me everything to do yet, God, because authority scares me. But I'll tell you this, since you want me, since I'm convinced you loved me, whatever you want me to do, I'll try my best to do it, and wherever you want me to go, I will go. And he took me from that point to where I am today, and my journey's not over yet, but look at what all God has helped me to do. The change, the transforming, I no longer hightail it to the car. I no longer run away. I can hold my head up high because I know I'm a child of the living God. And my faith is not just religion. My faith is working. What about the Apostle John? Do you know that he was once called a son of thunder? And he got so mad when the Samaritans wouldn't accept Jesus that he wanted Jesus to call down fire and burn them up. I kind of know how that feels because I lived 14 and a half years in revenge. I know it's hard for people to believe, but I've told you before, if you got in my way, folks, you better beware. If it took me 5 years to get you, I was going to get you. Not so much physically, though if I could beat you up, I would, but emotionally. I would learn your little tricks. I would learn your little habits. And at the right time, pull the emotional slats right out from underneath you and care nothing about it. Go on like I had accomplished something great. So I understand where John was coming from. Call down fire on him. Disintegrate him, God. Just get rid of him. And Jesus said, John, you don't even know what spirit you're of. At that point, John was still in a religious mode that wasn't working for him. But later on, he is known as the Apostle of Love. When you read his letters, the book of John, and then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, what? God is love. God is spirit. God is this. God is that. What changed John from son of thunder to the apostle of love? His religion that wasn't working transformed into true faith. Now, we do know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. And we know that the apostles got many signs and wonders working through them. But saints of God, I have a question for you. In these last days, we are going to need to be able to demonstrate those works and those events just like they did in the early days. And are you ready for that? Mark tells us that those who believe will what? Lay hands on the sick and recover. We will speak with new tongues. Now, that's not the distortion and the shenanigans. We know that's true glossolalia, okay? But we do know that these gifts, the Lord is waiting to be able to pour them out on us. But what have you done to get yourself ready? Are you really wanting God to work through you to where you can go into dangerous places if need be and know that you're protected? Are you really ready to encounter somebody that you don't know their language? And at that moment, the Lord is able to help you to speak with them and they with you, and you understand and they understand? I've had that experience on several occasions. I've shared with you the ladies that came to our mission for clothes. They spoke complete, pure Spanish. And I, you know, can only habla poco, muy poco español. That's about it. I'm learning a little bit more through the food bank, but that's about it. They were speaking and rattling off, and I could see the tears in their eyes, and I said, Lord, help me to understand them. Something's wrong. And they're still speaking Spanish, but I'm hearing their cry in English. And when I speak to them, I know I'm speaking English, but they're hearing in Spanish. And the problem was their family in Mexico, all the members were sick. And they couldn't figure out why they were getting sick. So I prayed right there and I asked the Lord to let me know what was wrong with their family. And I told them, their house is sick. They've built their house with bad bricks. Tell them to get out of that house and build another house with clean bricks. They followed that instruction. And a couple months later, when that family came back, they were all excited. They're still speaking Spanish. I'm still speaking English. But we understood each other completely. And they told us, we did what you asked us to do. The family got out of the house, and they started feeling better, even though they were living in a tent. What had happened is they had taken mud from a landfill that had been poured with chemicals, and that's what they initially had built their house with. And so all of that stench and all of those chemicals were coming through the bricks, making them sick. When they started living in a tent until they could build a clean house, they started feeling better. The third time I saw this family, they did come with an interpreter, so we didn't have to trust the gift of Holy Spirit there, and they shared more about it. Now, I do not have the gifts of glossolalia. That gift belongs to the Holy Spirit of the living God. But we are told that the Holy Spirit will grant gifts at His desire. The problem with religion that doesn't work is people claim they have it. I have this gift. I have that gift. I can do this. I can do that. And they're not trusting that it is the move of Holy Spirit on their life. To this day, I know that was God and not Gloria, because I still don't speak very good Spanish. But if the Lord were ever to need me to hear another person in whatever language, and it is God's desire that that person is helped, I know God could work through me again. But it is God working, not me. Amen? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, because we're going to learn a little bit about some of the things that God is wanting to do through his saints. But again, I'm going to ask you, are you ready? Because if we're not ready, then we will pass by many of the things that God wants us to do. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 3, it tells us, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Oh, boy. So, okay, no matter what God does through you, it's not you, amen? It's God. "But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy. If you've been called to preach, guess what you ought to be doing? You ought to be preaching. Okay? In proportion to your faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. So if you've got a gift of helps or whatever it is, teaching, whatever, what are we seeing here? God says, I want to use you here. I want to use you there. I want you to do this. But once I call you to it, you're going to need me to do it. But do it. Teaching. Teach. Exhort. How many people do you know have the gift of exhortation? When you see them, do you help them to be glad? Do you lift them up or do you pull them down? Do you know that exhortation is a gift and God can help you to administer that gift? And that's a common gift that every single one of us can administer. Amen? Because it's our job to show love and friendship and kindness. How it is done will be up to Holy Spirit, but we exhort. Who gives liberally or libertarily, let him who lends with diligence. Are you a giver? Give gladly. Not, oh, I gotta pay my tithe. Gotta give offering to keep the church doors open. Okay, I guess I'll give. No, that's not how we give. Give freely. If you're a giver, give gladly, because somebody gave it to you first. Didn't God give it to you? Then if you have the gift of giving, give. And it's not always money. Maybe clothing, maybe shoes, maybe whatever it is. We give out food. We take things to the street. We help these people. Some of them have come off of the street and gotten their lives together in Christ, and we're blessed by that. But if you're a giver, give gladly. But you can't do it by yourself. It's going to take God to help you with it. He who leads, lead with diligence. I know leadership is a job. And sometimes it's rough because some of the people that you're leading are more than the horse that won't drink from the water trough. You can't even drag them to it sometimes, and I understand that. But it says here that if you are one who is in leadership position, understand God has called you to that. He's going to gift you to do it, and so you do it consistently, regularly, even when you got a stubborn horse that won't pull to the trough. I've had many, okay? I've had many. And that's when sometimes you say, I'm going to let go of the reins. And if they ever get thirsty enough, they know where they can come to get a drink. Because, see, it's not should I help, it's how should I help. Sometimes I'm not the person to help them, so I gladly call somebody else in on the job. Let Holy Spirit lead them. Do whatever. We've experienced this in some people in this church, that we tell them, We advise them, we instruct them, and they just won't do it. So how long are you going to say the same things? How often are you going to tell them the same tale? How many times are you going to instruct them the same thing? Even though we're told to do it with diligence, there is wisdom in that, and sometimes you've got to let go of the reins and let that horse get thirsty, 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 so that you can pick up the reins again and lead them to the trough. And maybe then they'll drink, maybe they won't, but at least it's a step in the right direction. But we're seeing here in Ephesians that all of these gifts are given to those who believe according to the will of Holy Spirit. Saints of God, are you ready to be used in these ways? Have you learned? Have you studied? What about if you meet up with somebody who is badly sick and needs to be healed then and there? Oh, well, I need to call an elder. Now, James does tell us to call an elder. But maybe that elder can't be reached. And if you're not sure that God can use you at that moment, then maybe religion isn't working anymore. Maybe you haven't gotten yourself ready to be in that position. And it isn't going to happen every day because you and I don't possess the gift of healing. Who does? God does. But he says, I can work through you that way. I can work through you that way. Do you carry a little vial of oil with you so that if the occasion comes that you can pray? Or even if you don't, if the occasion is there. Craig and I encountered a man that had been stabbed. They had propped him to where his head was here, his leg was there, his leg was what had been stabbed, and blood was running all down the pavement. We get out of our truck. We go to help the man. The first thing we do is change his position. I see where the hole is in his leg, and nothing is stopping it. Craig has put a tourniquet. It wasn't stopping it, so I knew an artery had been punctured. So I stuck my finger in the hole and waited until the ambulance got there. And I'm praying with this man. When the ambulance got there, they saw what was going on, and they said, lady, don't take that finger out of that hole. Wait, we're going to put pressure pants on him, and that'll solve that, but don't take that finger out of that hole until I say now. So here I am sitting on a pavement with my finger in the leg of a man who had been stabbed in the artery of his leg. And they say, now, and I draw back, and they put the pants on. They get him to the hospital. Guess what? He recovered. Something happened to the hole in his leg. Now, I didn't pray at that time, oh, Lord God, stitch up the hole in his leg. Da-da-da-da. It was just I stuck my finger in the hole of a man that was bleeding. And the Lord healed that man's leg. Some of you know Carla. She had cancer. We had prayed for her. They had done the biopsy, and they told her it was cancer. I was in the hospital with her. We prayed. And when the doctors took her in the back, they came back within 20 minutes and said, something happened to that tumor. It's gone. It's gone. There was no tumor. It was there when she came in. It's gone. Of course, you know we had a hallelujah party right there in the hospital. Did I heal Carla? No, but God used me as an instrument to bring healing to her and to break up that tumor. But saints of God, are you ready to be used that way? Or are we so afraid of the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they've been hijacked that we're not willing to be used of God in these ways? We need to get ourselves ready because, saints of God, in these last days, when the world is hurting, screaming, crying out for real things to happen, not the fake things that we're warned about in Revelation, not the tricks, not the shenanigans that are being pulled, but true, honest gifts of Holy Spirit. God is wanting to give them. And he's wanting you to be ready to receive them and to be worked through him to see it happen. Now, what if you encounter somebody with a demonic spirit? Do you run hightail and say, oh, no, not me. I'm not going there. Or do you know what to do when somebody you know is vexed, either oppressed or possessed with an evil spirit? Do you know what to do? Let me caution you. Don't just instantly call out the demon spirit, or that spirit might jump on you and beat you up. You don't have the authority unless you know the situation of that person. But you can bind that evil spirit and stop its operation in their life and call out the truth of Jesus and pray for the time to be ready. But be careful. We worked with a man. He was brought to us by a Baptist minister. It was his cousin, who was beginning to see evil spirits actually attacking him at night. This guy had really had trouble. I mean, he was in trouble. And I started to pray as to how to minister to him. We began to bind those sender spirits from attacking him, and that's all we could do at the time. And then the Lord told me to go to the love chapter in Corinthians and have him read it, but put his name in it. Jesus loves me. He does not think evil of me. He does not hold grudges against me. And he started to say that. And the next thing that happens, after 2 weeks, I get a call from a Pentecostal preacher. What are you doing to my nephew? I'm not doing anything to him. Well, we have cast demons out of him time and time again. And it's always worse than before, but something different is happening. Well, you know, we are warned in Matthew and in Luke that if you call out an evil spirit and that person isn't ready to be clean, that spirit will haunt, look for a host, and if that spirit doesn't find one, he'll come back to where he had been, bringing seven more with him, more wicked than the first. Now the guy's in really bad shape, and that's what was happening to this poor man. Week after week, day after day, sometimes I would read the love chapter with him, and he began to be relieved. He began to see better, literally, with his eyes. He wasn't afraid at night anymore. He was able to go back to work, and he's completely set free. Who did that for that man? God did it, but God gave me the wisdom of how to help him. There have been other times when we have been involved because of the ministry that we had there at the mission where literally we had to call out demons. The saddest, most profound case was a 2-year-old boy whose parents had taken him into a crack house. That little boy was breathing in that smoke, and the enemy took advantage of that little boy. When CPS brought that boy to us to help until they could find a suitable place for him, that little boy shook violently. He couldn't sleep. No matter what we did, he couldn't sleep. I had a partner with me, and we prayed for this little boy, and I realized that the enemy had taken advantage of this poor little 2-year-old, and not only was he breathing in the crack smoke, but he had also been, a demon had come into him. Now that's a knowledge of the Holy Spirit, right? It couldn't have been me, but we prayed. I had my friend go and open up a window, because if you've ever been involved in freeing somebody from a spirit, those spirits think. If you're in an enclosed place, have a place for them to get out. So she opened the window, and we prayed, and I held the little boy who was violently shaking. I can't even emulate his shaking. And we prayed in Jesus' name that that demon go. And the demon left him, stunk up the whole building, but left him, and instantly the little boy relaxed and was able to sleep. Saints of God, what are you going to do if you encounter that? Please do as Jesus did if you're ever called for that position. I'm going to challenge you to go through the Gospels and see what Jesus did. Jesus didn't scream and stomp and do silly things. He didn't even command the spirits to go to the pit of hell, which you see sometimes in some churches. When you see the Gadarene, the demons say, "Are you here to trouble us before our time?" Jesus said, "No, I'm just going to cast you out. Well, let us go into the pigs. Let us go there." So don't be foolish and try to condemn them to the pit, because the pit's not going to happen until Jesus comes. Amen? But you can call them to Rome without finding a host, so nobody else is going to be bothered by them. And that's what we did with this little boy. So where that spirit is, I don't know, but it's roaming around trying to find somebody, and it can't find anybody. But you have to be wise, and you have to equip yourself, and you need to train yourself, because if you're not ready, then guess what? Religion really isn't working because you're afraid. Just because it's been hijacked by other people doesn't mean it can't be worked through you. We're not going to read them all, but go to Romans and go to 1 Corinthians and look at those gifts and see what God wants to do through his body in these last days. If you've been keeping up again with the 10 days of prayer, we understand there is an urgent message that has to go forward, and we're the ones to carry that message. And how we carry that message is going to depend on what God wants to do through you at any given time. But saints of God, are you ready? Do you know what the message is? We had that beautiful song, Written in Red. That's the first message. Jesus loves you, died for you, and wants you to be his friend. Then we tell the whole story of Jesus when we have the opportunity. And if called upon to have any of the gifts of the Spirit administered at that time, are you ready to let God administer that gift through you? Because in this day and time, if we're not ready, our religion isn't working anymore. It isn't where it needs to be. And this is a hard message. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit talked to my heart first. I need to be ready to have them happen wherever I am at, wherever I go, to be wise to what's happening around me, to know what gift to use, when to call it forth. Because we're told we can ask for gifts. But the greatest gift is love, isn't it? The greatest one is love. And through love, anything else can be done. Any other gift can be administered through you. But I know some people are afraid. I know because I've heard it.
I don't know that I want God to do that.
Well, you may find yourself, as you carry this three angels message out, you may find yourself in a position where any of these gifts need to be administered. Because when you start to give the message, some people may react to it. And they may not react very good because of what they're going through. And you know how to pray then. You know what to do then. You know what to say then. And you're not afraid. And this is not the charismatic movement that I'm talking about. This is not the hype and the nonsense that we see. But it is real faith working in real time at an instant moment, whatever it is. I've shared with you, nobody else is more amazed at what God has done through me than I am. Nobody. When these things have happened, I draw back and I go, "Oh God, look what you did. Me, you used me for that. You let me know that. Oh God, thank you." I get the shakes afterwards. Whoa, look what happened. No amount of human effort is sufficient to reach our world for Christ. Human plans are powerless unless they are empowered by Holy Spirit. Only through the power of Holy Spirit will the world be reached with heaven's end time message. Only through the power of Holy Spirit can millions in great cities of this world be reached and you see what shape the cities are in. Only through the power of Holy Spirit can the unentered countries resistant to the Word of God be reached. Only through the power of Holy Spirit can our community be reached. And only through the Holy Spirit can members of your family be reached. And so today we go back to the beginning verse. In these days, we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And not be afraid of what God is going to do through you. Be amazed at what God can do through you. Be excited, but don't expect it to happen every time. Because if you expect it to happen every time, then you're claiming the gift and not giving the glory to God. Amen? But whatever it is that the Lord is laying on your heart, we saw that we're supposed to do it. Amen? Some of you have been a little bit reluctant to get involved. But we need everybody busy in the work of the Lord nowadays. Everybody. Look at the group that is here and those that are watching on our internet channel. It is time, saints of God, that we cry out for the latter rain of the Holy Spirit of God. We are promised that it will happen, and it's going to happen through you. Don't wait for some preacher somewhere or some deacon somewhere or some evangelist somewhere to be the one that God wants to work through. Today he's saying, I want to work through each of you. And I don't want you to be afraid of what I'm going to do. Be amazed. And when he works, whatever the gift is, whatever it is, be amazed, because you know then that you have joined with a closer relationship with your God, and you know that you are ready to be used by his Holy Spirit. We don't need the smoking mirrors, and we don't need the show, but we certainly need Jesus, don't we? I want Jesus. I want more of Jesus. I want to know his resurrection power. I want his blood to flow over my soul. And I want to know that at any given reason, at any given time, God can work through me however he chooses. Are you ready for that, saints of God? We cry out for it. We sing for it. But are you really ready to have it happen? I question, because the question was put to my spirit first. If we're not ready, if we're afraid, then religion itself isn't working anymore. But if we are ready, God will be able to teach us, train us, and help us to do whatever needs to be done to bring this precious message of his end-time salvation to this hurting and dying world. And it begins where you live. It begins in your neighborhood. It begins in your city, no matter where God's taking you. Years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and said he was going to take me to the nations. Little old Gloria Harder in Beaumont, Texas was going to go to the nations. You know Harvey, you know what happened here, you know what God did here, and as a result, Craig and I were sent all the way to Maryland to talk to the world leaders about what God did. That was put on nationwide international television. God took me to the nations. And we are invited, when COVID is over, to make efforts to be able to go to some of these countries and help them to develop programs of outreach. And then we were sent to Asheville, North Carolina, for Celebration of Hope. And again, international broadcast. And I'm looking back and I'm going, oh my goodness, God, look what you have done. Look what you have done. We still hear about it. We still are getting questions about it. I get calls all the time, and I'm blessed by that to be able to help other people to do what God did through us. Saints, are you ready? Are you really ready? Then let's pray. Heavenly Father, baptize us as individuals and as a believing group of people with your Holy Spirit. We desire to love you as never before. We desire to glorify your name however you choose to be glorified through us. We desire to be empowered to carry your end time message to the world in word and in deed. And we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth because we realize that mere religion isn't working anymore. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.